Now we continue our studies this evening in what I have entitled The Typical Teachings of the Tabernacle. I trust that God has been blessing your heart as we've gone through the typical teachings. In this picture behind me, this is something that I sketched out and colored in some months ago. I'm trying to illustrate for you just how the tabernacle looked as it stood in the wilderness. You can see the tribes stretched round about, and here is the only gateway into the court of the tabernacle. And the moment that we enter in through the gateway, we come face to face with this brazen altar of sacrifice. And this we shall deal with in detail on Saturday, God willing. And it's the story of the cross. It's really one of the great vessels of the tabernacle. And when we pass by the brazen altar of sacrifice, we come to the brazen laver. And the teaching here is really wonderful. Then when we pass by the brazen laver, we come to what the scripture calls the door of the tabernacle. This is always called the gate of the court. This is called the door of the tabernacle. Now, the moment that we pass in through these colored curtains here, we're into a square cubicle wherein stands three vessels. As we enter in through the curtain, on our right-hand side we shall find this table of showbread that we want to go into in detail this evening. And on our left hand we would find the golden candlestick. And just before us we would find this little golden incense altar. The moment that we come in here, we have left the light of day behind. There are no windows in this. The only light comes from the candlestick. Christ is the light inside that holy place. And we're taken up completely with Christ, for everything in there speaks of Christ. The curtains above our head, the curtains behind our back, the incense altar, the golden candlestick, and this table of showbread, they all speak in wonderful ways of our wonderful Lord. Now this evening, we want to try to study the details of this table of showbread. You'll find the reading in the book of Exodus, and at chapter 25, please. The book of Exodus, chapter 25, and commencing to read at verse 23. The book of Exodus 25, verse 23. And I just need to remind you that the Lord himself is speaking to Moses on the mount, and he's giving Moses all the details so that the tabernacle and the vessels will be made according to the pattern given to him in the mount. The Lord is speaking to Moses and saying in verse 23, "Thou shalt also make a table." And may we stop at the word table for a moment? May I say to the young folks, this is the most profitable way of studying God's word. Just take it phrase by phrase, young folks, and take your time and ask the Lord to teach you what all this is about. You know, we might rightly wonder why God is speaking to Moses and saying, make a table. Why a table? Why put a table in the tabernacle? What's it all about? Do you know, if you like to go through the scripture sometime, you'll find that this word table appears very often, doesn't it? There are many tables in the Word of God. Can I start you thinking? Remember, I can't afford to try to make these studies exhaustive, even if I were able. I can only make them suggestive. But if I suggest something and you get the idea, then you ought to be able to go on when you go home and complete it, or very nearly complete it. You do remember that the church hath the table of remembrance. Yes, each Lord's Day morning, we believers, we meet around the Lord's table to remember our Lord in His own appointed way. And for your information, it does say in the scriptures, as often as ye eat this bread, not as seldom, as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, and if there are any problems in your mind about how and when we should, remember that the principle is laid down for us. The early church in Acts 20, the disciples gathered on the first day of the week to break bread. And that's the principle, and you don't need to argue anymore. If it was good enough for the early church, praise God, it's good enough for us. So this is the table of remembrance. And then, of course, all of us, we remember the 23rd Psalm, don't you? Thou hast spread a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And this is the table of refreshment. And it's good to come each Lord's Day to the table of remembrance. And it's good to come every day to the table of refreshment. Because God has placed on the table of refreshment precious promises for us to take and make our own. Promises that promise us His presence, His peace, His power, every step of the journey. And then, of course, you do remember that the Shunammite woman invited the prophet into her home, set a little room apart for him, and she had a bed there, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. Oh, how she furnished it out for him. Well, he needs a bed for recuperation, doesn't he? Needs to rest. And he needs a table for meditation, doesn't he? And I think the stool was for supplication. He knelt down here. And I'm almost certain that the candle was for illumination. But the table is a table of reflection. It's here he's reflecting on the Word of God. I'm starting you thinking. There's the table of remembrance. There's a table of refreshment. There's the table of reflection. I can go further and put it like this for you. There's a table of remembrance for worshippers. There's a table of refreshment for warriors. There's a table of reflection for workers. But the one we're at tonight, I'll not go on with any more. You find the rest of them. There's quite a number more. I could employ the time tonight quite easily, but that's not the job. You know, sometimes I'm really tested where to stop and where to go on. I know you wouldn't mind, but you'd miss the rest of it. So you can't do it all. You can only start the wee fellow's thinking, and it's up to you, son. Go ahead with it. You've got a good start, haven't you? Now, the table that we're thinking about tonight
is not the table of remembrance or refreshment or reflection. It's the table of representation. Because the children of God are represented on this table. But we'll get to that in a moment. Now, we've stopped at the word table, haven't we? Thou shalt also make a table. Now, if you slip down the chapter, I'll go back to the phrases, but this is the best way to teach it, I think. If we go down to verse 30, and this is the last verse dealing with the table of showbread, here's what it says in verse 30 of Exodus 25. And thou shalt set upon the table showbread before me alway. Now, that's a tremendous word, showbread. You know, I think that nowhere in the world we have as many varieties of bread as we have in Northern Ireland. I'm almost sure of that. We have soda bread, tatty bread, do you know what that means? All right. I can go on, you know, I know a lot about this. Not the baking of it, the eating of it. But do you know about showbreads? What's the idea here? Now, this is really tremendous, and I want you to get the hold of this. The word that's translated show here before the bread, it's a Hebrew word. And it's the word panim. And it actually means face. Let me make you sure of this. Come over to Genesis, and at the first chapter, and in verse 2, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And see the word face? Well, it's exactly the same Hebrew word as the word that's translated show. It's the word panim. You know, I've often wondered as I've gone round Ballymacarrick in my rougher days, did there come a Hebrew tribe to this part of the world at one time? Because they still call your face down here your pan. You know that, don't you? I often wondered where they got it from. Yes, they would tell you around Billy McQuarrie very quickly, they'd knock your pan in, you know. I don't know exactly the connection, but I know that the Hebrew word for face is panim. Now, that's very wonderful because it's translated by another English word. If you go to Genesis chapter 3, you see Genesis. Now, here's verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. See the word presence? Well, it's the word panim. And of course, you know, if you've only got an elementary education like me, you can see this. That show and face and presence have all got a connection of some sort. It's all the same thing. The root meaning's the same. It's show, it's face, it's presence. And that's the great idea here, that this bread was put on the table before the face of Jehovah. It was always in the presence of God. That's it. Have a look at the book of Leviticus for a moment, at chapter 24. Leviticus chapter 24. And verse 5, just to see something more about the bread. And thou shalt take fine flour and bake 12 cakes thereof. 2/10 deal shall be in one cake, And thou shalt set them in two rows, six on a row, upon the pure table before the Lord. And thou shalt put pure frankincense upon each row, that it may be on the bread for the memorial, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord. Watch the word continually. Being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant, and it shall be Aaron's and his sons, and they shall eat it in the holy place. Now I want you to get this, that these 12 loaves were set before the face of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord, continually. There was a continuity in the representation. The 12 tribes are represented by the 12 loaves. And they are represented before the Lord continually. Let's get that bit in. There's a continuity in the representation. Day and night it was there. But there is not only a continuity, there is a unity in the representation. The whole 12 are there. All the children of God being represented continually. But there is not only the thought of continuity and unity, there is the thought of individuality. There are 12, you know. And there were 12 tribes. So that this representation before the face of God, in the presence of God, was going on continually, and there was a unity and yet an individuality in the representation. But let us try to get nearer the truth in all this. Come to Hebrews, and we're at chapter 9. Letter to the Hebrews, and we're at chapter 9. Now, here is a very wonderful verse. And should I start to expound it, I'm afraid we'd be here for quite a time, but I must let you try to find the deep things in it yourself. There's something I want to show you. Verse 24, Hebrews 9:24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the truth. That's why I'm allowed to take the types, because the Bible says so. You see, these are the holy places made with hands. And the Bible distinctly teaches me and you tonight that they were figures. Some people don't like typical teaching. Well, then you don't like this verse that I'm at now. Because they are figures of the truth. But Christ is not entered into anything that was just typical, you know. Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the truth. But watch this. But into heaven itself. I want you to get this. Now to appear quickly in the presence. See that word? That's a Greek one now. That's the word prosopon, P-R-O-S-O-P-O-N, and it's translated about 50 times in your New Testament by the word face. That's very wonderful. Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, but Christ is entered into heaven itself. Now, at this psychological second, appearing before the face of Jehovah, quick, for us. Praise God indeed. Praise God indeed. Because now we are at the typical teaching of the thing, whether the critics like it or not. Man, I'd love to thump it into somebody. Yes, you've got to bow to God's word, haven't you, whether you like it or not. Here on the page.
Nobody stretching things. These are figures. We are finding the truth. Christ has entered into the holy place of heaven itself tonight, now to appear before the face of God for us. You remember that word that's in the Gospels, his face did shine above the shining of the sun, the word prosopon is there, his face. You remember that other word? He set his face steadfastly. Well, that word is prosopon. Remember the word in Revelation? We shall see his face. It's the word prosopon. All the time this word is translated other places by the word face, so that we're quite clear and sure that Christ is appearing before the face of Jehovah. For us tonight, every believer is continually represented by our high priest in heaven. Hallelujah. Great teaching. Now that's what I want to get at. That's the first point this evening. Our Lord's ministration in heaven. He's appearing before the face of God for you, dear. And if ever you feel troubled, downcast, and we all get there, just let sweet comfort be brought to your heart by the thought that there is somebody praying for you. And that somebody is the Lord Jesus. You know, wouldn't it be a thrill to know that while you sat in the kitchen under the juniper tree of depression, that in the other room the Lord Jesus was praying for you? I'm sure your depression wouldn't last too long. So don't forget that he's before God's face continually representing you. You remember he said to Peter, the devil has sought to sift thee as wheat, but I have prayed for thee. There's a continuity, yet a unity, and yet an individuality about it. That's the ministration of the Lord in the heavens for us. Now let's get back to this. Exodus 25. Now we're at verse 23. We haven't got very far. We've just started. Verse 23, and I did stop at the word table. Now let's get another little bit in. Thou shalt also make a table of shittim wood. And you remember when I was dealing with that other vessel the other evening, Saturday evening, Sunday afternoon it was, when I was dealing with that, we were dealing with the Ark of the Covenant. And I let you see the Ark. It was made of wood covered with gold. And we said the wood came from earth, speaking of his humanity. And we said the gold was something that's everlasting, speaking of his deity. And humanity and deity came together. And what a picture of the incarnation. Now, this is something we must get into our hearts tonight. That the one who is in the heavens tonight, just now, he's a real man. Real man. You know, he's so much a real man that the high priest that represents you continually before the face of God, dear, he can be touched with the feeling of your infirmity. You see, we're not only looking at the administration of the Lord or the ministration of the Lord in the heaven, but we're looking at the disposition. My, what a lovely disposition he has. He always understands you. You know, I often say this. There's nobody in this world understands me like Jesus. And I'm positively sure I can say this with emphasis. There's nobody understands Paisley but Jesus. I'm positively sure of that bit. Funny how you can see the truth when I turn it on him, isn't it?
Never mind, the Lord understands when the folk don't. Yes, my own wonderful, wonderful master. He's a real man. He's been in pain, you know, and you'll never be in pain as deep as he was. And he's been in poverty.
He'll never be in poverty as deep as he was.
And there isn't anything that you're going to pass through on the journey down here. Oh, he's been weary in body, you know. Weary, sat on the well. He understands. Yes, this is the disposition. It's seen in the perfect humanity. But we'll not labor it. Now, watch this bit. Verse 23. Thou shalt also make a table of sittim wood. 2 cubits shall be the length thereof, and 1 cubit the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof. Now these measurements are very important, you know. Really very important. I'll not go into them all because we'll have them again. But let me show you this just in passing. Just take the height of the table. You can see a picture of the table here. And just take the height of the table. The height is 1.5 cubits, the height thereof. Now, I wonder, did you remember when we were dealing with the ark? You remember I passed by the height. Have a look at verse 10 up there in this same chapter. And they shall make an ark of sittim wood. 2.5 cubits shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof. Now, just notice that the height is the exact same as the height of the table. So that the ark of the covenant and the table were exactly the same height. Now, when we get to Saturday night, if the Lord will, we'll be coming out here to this brazen altar of sacrifice. Now, let me show you this. It's in chapter 27. Chapter 27, and it's verse 1. And thou shalt make an altar of sittim wood, 5 cubits long, 5 cubits broad. The altar shall be 4 square, and the height thereof shall be 3 cubits. And that knocks it out a little bit, doesn't it? Because the other two are just 1.5. But the height of this one, when we get to it, and I'll show you the picture properly, it's 3 cubits. But I want you to notice this. Verse 4 saith, of chapter 27, thou shalt make for it a grate of network of brass. Grate. And upon the net shalt thou make 4 brazen rings in the 4 corners thereof. And thou shalt put it under the compass of the altar beneath, that the net may be even to the midst of the altar. You know, they did make this 3 cubits, but they made a net that fitted down in the inside just to the exact midst. And the net whereon the lamb was laid was just 1.5. I am the Ark of the Covenant was 1.5. I am the table of showbread is 1.5. You know, when we get out to the altar on Saturday, we'll be looking at the death of Christ. And in the death of Christ, Christ met the requirements of men. When we went in through the veil and saw the altar, the Ark of the Covenant, and in the death of Christ, Christ met the requirements of men. When we went in through the veil and saw the altar, the Ark of the Covenant, there he met the requirements of God. And here
He's meeting the requirements of saints. And they're all on the one level. Because Calvary covers it all.
Yes, very wonderful. You see, we're not only noticing the ministration of our Lord in the heavens and the disposition of our Lord in the heavens, but we're noticing the perfection of our Lord in the heavens. In death, he met the requirements of men who would trust him. And in exaltation, he met the requirements of a holy God, for it's there God rests on the mercy seat. And in the table of showbread, he's meeting tonight in his high priestly ministry the requirements of saints. What a mighty work it is. It's all on the one level, you know. Same height. It's very wonderful to notice that. Now, watch again. We've got through the first verse, young folks. Did you notice that? Took me some time. My, you'd had it all read and your breakfast taken and away to the bus by now, and you wouldn't have known a thing that you'd been reading. You want to take your time. I'm just trying to teach you this, just to take your time. Oh, chew it well. Because it will pay dividends for you. Yes. Now we're at the verse 24 now. We'll read 23 again. Thou shalt also make a table of shittim wood. 2 cubits shall be the length thereof, and 1 cubit the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold. Do you know, friends, we must never forget this, that the one who sits on the right hand of the Majesty on high this evening, though he is the man, Christ Jesus, yet he's God the Son. Don't let's ever get away from this. My, this is the glorification of our Lord in the heavens. My, he's robed in glory tonight. And you know, when the day dawns and the shadows flee away, my, he'll take the sun and the moon, and he'll put them away forever. And you know, he himself will be the light of the new Jerusalem. It will have no need of the sun, neither of the moon, for the Lamb shall be the light thereof. And the glory of his person will light up eternity for all eternity. We must get this in tonight. Not only the administration or the ministration that he appears before the face of God representing us, and not only that his disposition is that he can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities, and not only that he meets the need of saints because he met the need of God and met the need of sinful men through the cross, but that he is God the Son. You remember the great letter to the Hebrews, chapter 1, and I'll not go to it tonight. You remember how God spoke to him, the Father speaking to the Son, and on to the Son he said, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of righteousness shall be the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." And then you remember he said this, "You threw the worlds into space, you put the stars in the heavens, and yet all this shall be folded up as a garment." And then God seemed to speak out loud and say, "Though they shall roll away, yet thou remainest." You know, because he's God, he'll always be there. Friends, that's the goal. That's just the glorification of his person. But let's get on with this. Now, here's where our great difference comes in this vessel from other vessels. It says, verse 23, "Thou shalt also make a table of shittim wood. 2 cubits shall be the length thereof, and 1 cubit the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold." Now watch. and make thereto a crown of gold round about. Now, you'll notice when we get into the 25th verse that there's another crown. And thou shalt make unto it a border of an handbreadth round about, and thou shalt make a golden crown to the border thereof round about. So that there are two crowns on this table. You know, I want you to notice that when the table of showbread was made, and the bread was put on, there was a crown just close round the bread. Then there was a handbreadth, and then there was a crown round the outside of the table. So that we've got to look at the first crown, and then the handbreadth, and then the second one. And you'll notice that the first one is just jamming the 12 loaves on the table, so that there's no possibility of any one of them falling off, you know. They're being held there together. And they won't slip and get lost in the sand or anything like that. No, no. You know, the Lord in heaven tonight, He Himself is holding us who have put our trust in Him. Actually, He's called the captain of our salvation, and the great fact is this, that He's leading us to glory. You know, I preached in this text the other day at a conference somewhere, and I said, you know, it's a text that makes you want to burst out with exclamations. First of all, you want to say, what a captain! He's the captain of our salvation. What a captain! My, he met everything the enemy had to throw at him. And he came through more than conqueror. You want to say, what a captain. Then when you have a look at the text again, you say, what a crowd. He's leading many sons. Think of the tribe he's leading. Black and white and red and yellow. Learned and illiterate. Prince and pauper. You know, when you look at the text, you say, what a captain, and then you say, what a crowd. And then you get this into your soul. He's leading many sons, quick, to glory. What a comfort. Where are you heading for? Are you afraid you'll be lost again? It's a great pity of you, because I'm going to glory. And I'm not going under my own steam either. I'm being led. Where to? To glory. Do you think he'll let me go?
No, no.
That's it all. He'll get me there, you know. You know, friends, I took the text like this. What a captain! What a crowd! What a comfort! And then I took the leading. What a charge he has! He's leading many sons to glory. And when he gets there, with I tell you this, he looked at heaven and all the angels and all the great angelic beings. And then he cried, behold, I am the children which thou hast given me, and there'll not be a hoof left behind. They'll all be there. All be there. You see, it's the glory of the Lord that gives us this security. There's a crown round the bread tonight. Hemming them in. That's the occupation of the Lord in heaven. He's got to see us there, you know. He's got to see us there. So that if you've studied this with me, you should have the Lord's ministration in the heavens. He's holding us up before God's face continually. And then the Lord's disposition in the heavens. He can be touched because he's human. And then the Lord's perfection in the heavens, for he has met God's requirements and he's meeting ours. And then our Lord's glorification, for this table was made of pure gold or covered with pure gold. And then our Lord's occupation in the heavens, my, he's holding us and is quite able to keep us from falling. Now, I want you to get that hand breadth, because that's very important. Verse 25 says, and thou shalt make unto it a border of an hand breadth round about. You know what the psalmist said in Psalm 39? He said, thou hast made my days as an hand breadth. You know what that is, isn't it? You know, the psalmist saw his life just like a hand breadth. You know, actually, it's just a little while, isn't it? And you know, the Master in the glory tonight, while he's representing us before the face of Jehovah, and by his own deity and mighty power he's keeping us, yet he's expecting to really come again and take us home. And in a little while, he'll come.
He'll come, you know, just a little while.
You know, this table's very wonderfully planned, isn't it? You know, any one of us trying to do it, we would have made a mess of it. You know, I'm sure Moses must have scratched his old head and said, God, what are you getting on about? He must have said, you know, the details you're giving me, what about a hand breadth again? Oh, yes, he might have got fussed up a little bit. I don't think he did, but he might well reasonably have got fussed up. But he didn't. He knew that God was in command, and everything was all right. And these are figures, and we need to think, and we need to think deeply, and then God brings it out. You know, we can see the Lord in the heavens tonight, and he's holding us up before the face of God continually, and in unity, and yet individually. And you know, we know that he can be touched. And we bless God's name that we believe that he's God the Son. And we know that he's bringing us to glory tonight. This is his occupation. He's going to get us there. Some of us are a little bit hard to get along the road, I know. We go into bypass meadows and he's got to get us out again. And he does, you know. But he's going to get us there. But all the time, he's expecting. You remember when he sat down here, the voice from the excellent glory said, sit thou here until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And you know, all the time, he's expecting that moment to dawn when he'll really rise and burst the clouds and come again. And then he'll be crowned again. Ah, that's another crown, isn't it? Ah, there are two crowns in this table. That will be the coronation of the Lord right on the outside of everything when every eye shall see it. And every tongue will have to confess, you know, that he is Lord. And he'll be crowned with many crowns. What a day that will be. Friend, I think that's really wonderful. What a wonderful Savior we have. But let's get this. You know, it does say here, verse 26, and thou shalt make for it four rings of gold, and put the rings in the four corners that are on the 4 feet thereof. Over against the border shall the rings be for places of the staves to bear the table. And thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood and overlay them with gold, that the table may be borne with them. You know, friends, we want to get this into our hearts. That while our Lord Jesus Christ is representing us up yonder, you know, we ought to be representing him down here. And you know, if the Lord Jesus is praying for you continually, and if you're absolutely sure that he's leading you to glory, and if you're sure that his mighty hand can keep you even though the storms and billows roar, then you ought to be bearing a testimony to the greatness of the wonderful Lord who's looking after you in the glory. And you know, so often we fail, don't we? You know, I think that one of the great blessings I got one day was when I walked along the sands of Port Stewart Strand with Dr. Barnhouse. He was a great old expositor, you know. And as we went along and talked about some things, remember I was just a kid beside a giant. He said to me, Willie, I want to say this to you and I want you never to forget it. He said, you know, when you're really trusting the Lord, and I mean really trusting, I mean definitely, wholeheartedly, with all your soul trusting the Lord, you'll find this out, son. When you're trusting Him, you're not worried. And remember this, when you're worrying, you're not trusting. And then he said this, and when you're worrying and not trusting, you're not representing Him aright. I wonder what sort of a representation we carry to the crowds around us. You know, I came here to have a mission once, and it was a very God-blessed mission. We enjoyed every moment of it. And yet the doctor can tell you that there were days when he came to see me. He came one afternoon, and my doctor was there, and I was in bed. It was 4 o'clock, and my old heart was tromping along, far too many to the dozen. And the doctor's leaning over the bed, and he said, you won't be there tonight. And I said, doctor, I'll be there tonight, son. Friends, you know, the doctor even talks about this yet. And you know, I shall never forget those days how you trusted the Lord. Our friends, tell me this. Do you really worry? Can you not sleep at night? Man, I have no bother. None at all. None whatsoever. Friends, let's really get the hold of this evening, if I can get it over without any smell of theology about it, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the stranger of Galilee, the man of Calvary, the same blessed Son of God, he's actually at this very psychological second paying for you. That ought to bring you to a place where you'll look into his face and say, well, if you are praying for me, my, I must square my shoulders and I must let the world see whose I am and whom I serve. What way are you bearing him before the people? You know, I said to the doctor the other day, I said, do you still get crowds in the surgery at night? Oh, he said, we're fed up with it. They're jammed round the walls. They're standing reading papers. They're waiting there from 7 o'clock to nearly 10. I said, are they all dying? That's a toll, he said. There are 3/4 of them. There's nothing up with them. And the half of them Christians. Looking for tranquilizers to get to sleep. Christians. Eating drugs. God shame me. Here's something for you, dear. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. Do you believe it? You know, we need to get back to actual practical Christianity, where we'll put our arms round the Savior and know that He's ours and that He prays and never forgets and represents and feels and that He has pledged to take us through. Hallelujah. Then we can go out
And we can represent him aright to the world. My dear friends, I think this is a tremendous study. May God help you to see the Savior, that's all. To get your eyes on the one who's in the glory. To almost hear him praying for you. Oh, how your soul should rise in adoration. How you should step out. How you should represent him to the people. My, may the people know that you've really got a mighty Savior. May God bless you. Thank you.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this evening that Thou hast once again revealed to us Thy Son, the One who was in Thy bosom from all eternity, and who has come down and has walked this scene of life before us, and is at this moment appearing in Thy presence on our behalf. We thank Thee for Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We bless Thee that He never changes, that the circumstances of life don't alter him, that the afflictions and the temptations of life never alter his disposition towards us, that he loves us just the same. He knew the worst about us before he saved us, and we bless thee that he knows it still, but he still loves us. His eye is still upon us. His hand still holds us. Praise God, His blood still cleanseth us. And thank God, His prayers still go up for us. And we bless Thee that He's looking forward to the day when He'll bring us safely home. We thank Thee for the truth of the old prophetic scripture. He shall see His seed. And we thank Thee that He'll see them born and brought in. That he'll see them educated and brought up. That he'll see them supported and brought through. And we thank thee that he'll see them glorified and brought home. Oh, we bless thee. And we would just say tonight, 10,000 charms around him stand. But best of all, I know he's mine. Lord, may we really love Thee. May we really serve Thee. May we really witness for Thee. May our testimony bring honor to Your name. May we walk worthy of our vocation in grace. Bless us now. Remember those that know Thee not. Lord, save them tonight. For Jesus' sake.
Amen.
And everybody say,
Amen.
Amen.